Madam Speaker, first of all, allow me to thank the people of Souffres Pointe-Jacques for giving me this opportunity today, once again, to stand and speak on their behalf. Madam Speaker, the people of Souffres Pointe-Jacques will realize that I am not afraid to stand to speak on their behalf. There are six of us on this side, there are 11 of them on the other side. And they are afraid of what we have to say. And therefore, Madam Speaker, I am not going to create any more delay in this proceeding, and I have decided to stand to speak at a time when I had not planned to do so. But nevertheless, Madam Speaker, whatever I have to say, Madam Speaker, is going to be the truth, the gospel. Because, Madam Speaker, we have been presented with a budget, and I do not know how to describe it. Madam Speaker, let me rebut a couple of things the Honourable Member for Denry North said. He is sticking to a mantra of cost overrun. You win an election on cost overrun, you're still coming back with cost overrun. I challenge the Minister of Communication and Works to disclose in advance how much his project would cost and tell us how much at the end. That is the only way you can do cost overrun. You do not know cost overrun if the initial cost of the project, the contract term, is not disclosed. But the minister is hiding behind the figures, and then he tells the whole world, "Nah, Germany cost overrun. I can never have cost overrun." Who are you bluffing? The other thing is rationale. Everything is rationale. These, Madam Speaker, the members of this government, they are happy there was a rationale. They are happy because they squander money, they hide behind rationale. They get money through all kinds of surreptitious means, they hide behind cost overrun. It gave them an excuse. Madam Speaker, rationale is hired, you know. Sanders Grand, the hotel employs 350 persons. Are you saying that? That this hotel should be closed? You keep attacking the workers at that hotel every time there's a budget debate. You're attacking the workers every time. Attacking the farmers. Attacking the taxi drivers who got to make a bread there.
Madam Speaker.
And they go there. And they eat and drink there. Madam Speaker. Once again, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, if rationale had not taken place, this government would not have a foot to stand on because they are using it to do wrong things in the country and it's rationale. Madam Speaker, I challenge them. What the Labour Party did for rationale, do it for Rich Carlton. Because you create employment in that corridor, on the eastern corridor. The money that was wasted to buy the Dyer building, why didn't you try and inject some of that into Rich Carlton, so you can create the paradis, sorry Madam Speaker, into the paradis on the East Coast, so that you could keep the hotel going, because right now the hotel is like a ruin. It is not producing anything. If only you had the foresight and the vision that the Labour Party had to help give a stimulus package to encourage the hotel to reach completion, that would have saved this country. By now, many of the young people in Denry and the North and Denry South and Miku and Deriso would have been working. By now, the farmers would have one extra market to sell on. By now, more taxi drivers would have been involved and earning an income by operating at that hotel, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, once again, the PM had an opportunity to give the nation a gleam of hope and confidence that he can do something to take us from the abyss that he has put us. He had the opportunity to do it. He did not do it. Once again, he failed. Budget after budget, he failed. What he has done is to regurgitate the last budget. And I can actually take 2008 budget and read a whole page that was reproduced in this budget. Copy and paste budget. That's what it is. Copy and paste. No vision. No foresight. Madam Speaker, but you'll hear them on the other side talking all kinds of sleazy political things that don't make sense. And they expect the rest of the country to imbibe them in their sleaziness. No, Madam Speaker, we are not stupid. St. Lucians are no longer stupid. St. Lucians know and can read. And more than that, that's right. The people of Sufri are not stupid. Oh, ouch. Ouch. That's right. Honorable member for Central Cast, this is what you don't understand. If what you say that ever happens, then you are out. Madam Speaker, this budget is a litany of unrealistic and overly ambitious programs from previous years. The PM had his last chance. Yes, Genesis to him. Because I suspect this is the last budget he's going to present. His last chance to come good of the country. And again, he has failed. Madam Speaker, the biggest risk for any recovery of the economy of this country is another 5 years of this government. That is the biggest risk for the country. Because, and I'll tell you why, Madam Speaker. Because the economy is stuck. Everything is stuck. So I quit. You make crazy dream when I should die. Businesses are stuck. No way to go. Sales decline. Taxi drivers are stuck. Healthcare is stuck. And I'll speak about it in a while. Agriculture, pre-plifer. Infrastructural development, the Labour Party had a serious program of road rehabilitation. Where is it? Talk again, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, nothing is moving in this country. The only thing that is moving in this country are the pockets of this minister. That's the only thing moving in the country, because they are all millionaires. All those who are millionaires say amen. Millionaire, they are all in record time. All millionaires. That is what is moving in the country. Everything else is just stuck, Madam Speaker. The assets moving by leaps and bounds, driving all kinds of fancy cars. Some of them building mansions on the hill. And they don't drink, and because they don't drink, there are many Christians in this country that do not drink or fest. And they earn decent salaries, and they can't build a plywood house. They can't build a house in plywood. But government ministers are building huge mansions with swimming pools on top of the tree. Madam Speaker, I am now convinced in the history of St. Lucia, this is the most corrupt government ever existed. And I'll give you the evidence. The Taiwanese buyout. They are millionaires, Madam Speaker, as a result of a buyout. Madam Speaker, members on the other side will want to tell you that whatever they have earned, they earned it honestly. But when government ministers try to deny the state of taxes and revenue belonging to the state, that is corruption, Madam Speaker. And I refer to Tuxedo. Madam Speaker, if they want to speak in like this, I'll sit, you know.
Okay, members, order, give the honorable member his due time, please.
Madam Speaker, A&M has fault on my name. The details, I do not know. But I said this to this honorable house. If the thing looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, It quacks like a duck, it will be a turkey. It has to be a duck. And all of what has been said in this country about this company smells to me. That's what I'm going to say about it, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I am telling you, I'm justifying a statement I made a while ago that this is the most corrupt government I have ever come across. I want to ask the Minister of Communication what happened to the WASCO privatization. What happened to it? He has never told the country. I want to know. Of course. Because A&M was involved in the negotiations initially. And when it failed, then they moved to the Babylon Road. Yes, Madam Speaker. The Honorable Minister came to Sufre at the Sufre Town Hall, had a meeting with all of his technocrats and some people from Sufre, and explained to the people why WASCO must be privatized. I was there. I supported him. And I told the people that is the way to go. In the budget, the Prime Minister says that WASCO is going to remain 100% government. Why? Why the flip-flop? At one time, WASCO was bad. You have to privatize it. All of a sudden, WASCO is so good, you not go there again. The Dahir building bailout. Smells a rat. Madam Speaker, there is something in the country called the Pinky Pokila driver. Smells a rat. Madam Speaker, the West Coast overlay, Madam Speaker, both the West and the East Coast, Madam Speaker, West Edge taking place there, Madam Speaker, it's supposed to be 3 years. The road between Camels and Pale, which is about 10 miles, 3 years, 3 years, this government cannot build 10 miles of road. And we have equipment on the road every day. Every day on the road, equipment on the road, every day, Madam Speaker. The Marigold project, which the member for Castries South alluded to. I gave a lady a ride this morning, Madam Speaker, driving to Castries. And the lady, when I passed the entrance to the project, the lady asked me, what are you all doing about it? The lady told me, two and a half years, you know, Madam Speaker. 2.5 years. Nothing. No progress. I'm your Pinot tree. Nothing. 2.5 years. Taxpayers' money being wasted. Wasted. Madam Speaker, while all of that wastage is going on, you have farmers in Fosseja.
Point of order?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me just exhort the member not to make assertions in ignorance. He said, Madam Speaker, and I quote, taxpayers' money being wasted in Marigold.
Honourable Member, this is not a point of order.
It's a point of clarification, Madam Speaker.
Okay, and a point of clarification, you may not sit if the member does, you may not stand if the member does not yield. That's why I didn't acknowledge.
He did yield, you know.
He yielded because you said, I asked you, point of order, you said, yes, Madam, point of order.
So it's taxpayers' money. I need to make a mention that taxpayers' money is not involved in Marigold.
Okay, that's enough. Members, I will only allow you if the member has yielded and it is a point of order.
Madam Speaker, I will ignore the minister because I suspect he has a serious learning disability. Madam Speaker, I was saying, Fort Saint-Jacques, the farmers of Bouton, the farmers of Chateau Bel Air, the farmers of Braden, Esperance, and all over the country, Madam Speaker. All of those monies that have been wasted could have been helped, especially after this long drought that we have there. All the wastages that we have on the East Coast Road, on the West Coast Road, in Marigold, and all over the place. You should have taken those monies and helped the farmers. Give them a bailout because they are suffering, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and this has more implications for the food security of this country, no, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, come June, July, we'll be in a serious problem for food. We've been serious trouble for food, Madam Speaker. And this government must begin to address it now, because that drought created havoc on production in agriculture. I went to the farms and I'm seeing the amount of destruction that the drought created. I can see that, Madam Speaker. Madam Mr. Minister, I think they were twice, but I'm coming for you just now. Madam Speaker, the other thing is, everything that happened in the country is because of global economic crisis. But Madam Speaker, this government was already in crisis before the economic meltdown. And I have evidence to prove it, Madam Speaker. And the blame in everything is global crisis. Madam, these are the statistics, Madam Speaker. I am reading from the Social and Economic Review of this year, last year, 2009. And in the same breath, Madam Speaker, I am going to correct an error that the member for Meepu South made in his presentation with respect to the percentage negative growth in 2003, he said. These are the figures. Growth, 1999, 3.64. 2000, negative 0.4. Okay? 2001, negative 4.1. 2005, that was after. Remember that? After. 2002, positive 0.57. 2003. 3.53. 2003 is positive, 3.53. 2004, 3.76. 2005, 4.39. 2006, 4.79. Now that is when they took over. You see where the crisis sat? There's no other figure. That's 2006. Election was in December 2006. 2007, 1.46. Decline. 2008, 0.72. 2009, negative 5.19. That is the point. Then there is a graph on page 1, Madam Speaker. For those who cannot understand the statistics, look at it, look at the picture. It was claiming, and as soon as they came in office, phew, it was bad. Talking about national debt. Madam Speaker, our beautiful country cannot discuss with this government for another 5 years. Because this is a fraud masquerading as a government. They privatize the government for their own selfish interests. Our image and integrity have been sullied all over the world. We need to restore our pride and dignity by getting this government out and restoring a government that brought us pride, dignity, economic development. Madam Speaker, I tell you, the nation's verdict will come soon. Not from the pundits and the commentators and the spin doctors and the mendicants of shows. It will come from the people, and it's going to come soon. And if the Prime Minister wants, I tell him bring it on now, we're ready for it. If you say you have. And the only people who will not want the return of a Labour Party are those who are imbibing in the corruption of this government. They are the ones who will not want the return of this government, of Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the country is sliding in negativity, negative growth, as I told you. Negative unemployment has dramatically risen from 13.6 to 25% in the economic review. So economic growth is going down, down, down. Unemployment is going up, up, up. You said it. Madam Speaker, all the gains of the SLP, all the gains of the are now reversed. This is a government in reverse. A government in reverse. And what they are doing right now, they want to tax everybody. They are taxing the people of this country to give them more money to do more nonsense. Madam Speaker, cell phone calls. I cannot understand, Madam Speaker, to the Prime Minister. If you told the nation that we are going to put another 5% on cell phone calls so that we can introduce or continue the universal health care program, the country would have accepted that. We could have accepted that because we know where the money was going to, because the universal health care is important. So if you attack them, but to tax them and for you all to manage I don't think so. Madam Speaker, the motor vehicle license, Madam Speaker, I cannot understand how that ministry operates. They are hardworking people at the ministry, and they are being stressed out every day. Because the policy was put in place, but the machinery and the mechanism and the additional staff is not there. I have had to make four trips to union to pay my driver's license and my motor vehicle license, Madam Speaker. And somebody coming from Sufa, there are others in Sufa who have to do the same, and from there is Sufa from everywhere. There are only two persons attending. Persons who come and pay their motor vehicle license. It's new. There are about 10,000 vehicles in the country. How can two persons at Mamani? I'm not too sure. How can only two persons? Why don't give a young person a job at the ministry? Madam Speaker, this is serious. Because the payment of a tax, one of the canons of taxation is that the tax must be convenient. Being convenient means that there must not be the hassle and the headache when you have to go and pay the tax. And that is what we are experiencing in this country right now, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the other thing about this tax, Madam Speaker, in the Labour Party government, people were not paying for motor vehicle license. But the Labour Party had factored a 75 cents per minute for every gallon that would compensate for the licenses. What this government did, they left the 75 cents and they introduced 100% tax, is a tax of license on motor vehicles. I can't understand how in a time of crisis, when you're supposed to give the people relief, put money in the hands of the people so that they can excite the economy and create acceleration in the economy, you are taking money away from them through taxation, property tax, in all kinds of taxes that have been introduced. What a shame, Madam Speaker. What a disgrace. Madam Speaker, the ruthless behavior of this government is evident in the manner they are treating roadside vendors with little coolers. Look at what they're doing to the vendors on the roadside, Madam Speaker. Asking them to pay a fifth, I know that's the law. But you wish... I'm not going to be a hypocrite. That's the law, Madam Speaker. But what we need to do is to come to this Honorable House and amend it. That's what you must do. Come to the House and amend it, Madam Speaker. Just imagine. And I know they are persons. Little vendors around the place, Madam Speaker. That's all they did. They send their children to school on that. They pay their electricity. They pay, and all of a sudden, one day, a police officer just comes, taking the cooler and going away with it. Or pay $50 for everything. Madam Speaker, I don't believe that, Madam Speaker. We need to come to this Honorable House, and in the interest of that sector, to amend the law and remove or reduce that levy on those cooler vendors. Once again, Madam Speaker, this government, Madam Speaker, I listen to the Prime Minister, and for the Prime Minister, everything in the budget is at an advanced stage. Everything. He said so 26 times, and I'm still counting. Everything is at an advanced stage. And from two years ago, he's been saying the same thing, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this budget has a whole, according to the Jamaicans, a whole heap of empty promises. Promises carried over from the last time. Where is the new dam? Where is the new dam in the south that you promised? Where is the tunnel in the Badilin? Where is the Castries Urban Polyclinic? Where is the printer program that you promised? And the labor code, every single year, the labor code will be implemented this year. Every time we come to this house for a budget debate, the labor code will be implemented. It's like an old record that ticks. And the workers in this country are listening, and they're looking forward to see whether this year is going to be the final year of that empty promise. Madam Speaker, what hurts me more is that these members on the other side, they want to talk about debt and want to castigate the government, the previous government, for debt, Madam Speaker. I want them to tell the country how much you have borrowed since you came into office. how much you have borrowed? In excess of 700 million. In excess of 700 million. And tomorrow you're going to borrow another 176 million.
Madam Speaker, on a point of order, could the members give us the information?
Madam Speaker, they have borrowed this country into, that is why, Madam Speaker, the debt GDP ratio, as reported by the IMF, is 76% to GDP. And by the time, by the IMF,
Madam Speaker, on a point of order, the members of the Speaker, in the South.
Madam Speaker, by the time you borrow the 174 million in this budget, it will climb to 82%. And by the time you go and borrow $432 million for the Hiwanora project, it will go over 100%. So you're talking about debt? Show me one signature project. What happened? Tell me one, Madam Speaker. Tell me one of them, Madam Speaker. Sir John would show you the dam. The other party could show the stadium, the cricket grounds, we could show you the new hospital that started, they could show you the super people highway. We can show you new hospitals, the schools, we can show you after 3 years. Madam Speaker, I know I'm putting them in, Madam Speaker. I pick it up, Madam Speaker. They can take it, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there is one thing in the budget I want to applaud. Yes? Madam Speaker, one thing in the budget. With reservation. Madam Speaker, the whole concept of the constituency development project and the local government project, the idea sounds good to me. But as previous speakers have said, the problem is the victimization of those of us on this side. That is the problem, and it is evident already. The Easter, the Christmas beautification project, all this, Madam Speaker, this is really ridiculous. Madam Speaker, the members opposite, they each got $100,000 for the project, and they gave each of us $60,000, and the Prime Minister took $140,000. Madam Speaker, this is unfair. The people of Sousse-Fontaine-Jacques, they pay taxes just as the people of Central Kashmir. They have lived just as the people of Babono. Madam Speaker, and the member for Denmark North said, this is bipartisan. It's bipartisan, but we were never approached or consulted on that initiative. I only saw it in the budget. I will support it because I believe that there will be some funds flowing to the constituencies that we will be able to do the small projects in our constituency. But the question, Madam Speaker, is, why didn't the Taiwanese fund go through the same channel? Why didn't it go through that same channel? Because that legitimizes the fund. It should have gone, because this is a way out of all the claims the Labour Party has been making against the way the Taiwanese government operates in this country. This is how it should be. And we have always said that the money must go through the proper channel. So for it to go through that fund, if it goes through that fund, then it is legal, it is within the constitution, and everybody can benefit. Madam Speaker, let me tell you a little bit about tourism. Madam Speaker, the member for Catholic Chief spoke eloquently about what is happening in the tourism sector. And I just want to reiterate the wastage that is taking place in that ministry. And I cannot understand how men who are supposed to be intelligent and knowledgeable could allow that kind of wastage to take place in that ministry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the member for Catholic Chief told you about the trade show that was a waste of of money, the FTCA was a waste of money, the airline thing was a waste of money, and here is another, the boxing in paradise, another waste of money. Here is another waste of money. Madam Speaker, the bachelor, this episode. Do you know taxpayers have to pay thousands of dollars? Taxpayers. For people in Sucre to go to the stadium to watch the episode on a big screen TV? That was the minister, that's minister was there. He was, I wouldn't respect, everybody in Sucre, 80% of Sucre residents have TV at their home. That was a waste of money, Madam Speaker. That was a waste of money. How can you allow a minister to waste so much of our money? How can you allow a minister to waste so much money, Madam Speaker? While your minister has received $150 million, Madam Speaker, over a 3-year period. $150 million. Madam Speaker, listen to me carefully, you know. $150 million in 3 years. And during the 3 years, they fired 9 hostesses. They fired 9 hostesses. Monkey Paul, Kino Tima Michael Paul. Let me not say Monkey Fire, Kino Tima Michael and Sim. And you're paying Apple $1.2 million, and Apple advised you, Apple also told the minister, it's a waste of time to have the boxing in paradise, you know. But you couldn't have. You couldn't have. And I can't understand how the members on the other side allowed that to happen. I don't know. I don't know, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, not that alone, the jazz festival, which deliver which honorable member for Cassius Keith, spread throughout the length and breadth of. You took it out. He took it out from Sufre. Sufre Foundation had to finance the whole thing before there was a subvention. Madam Speaker, this is what I'm talking about. Madam Speaker, the other problem is, and the Prime Minister, you must watch this very carefully. Honorable, sorry, Madam Speaker, I'll just go through you. Madam Speaker, the Tourism Ministry has one focus. Blinkers. Only on hotels. Only on hotels. The ancillary sectors have been marginalized, and some of them are even being to be forced out of business. The taxi sector, which is supposed to remain within the purview of taxi drivers all central shore, that is now being passed on to the hotels. How can you tell me you're giving a hotel concession to buy 10 transit vans? What are going to do with it? I understood in the north, they gave a hotel concession to buy a backhoe. They gave another one a concession to buy a trap. What are you leaving for the locals? This is a vicious cycle of integration, of vertical integration that will not benefit the country. Water taxi, water taxis. Hotels are getting to buy their own water taxis. You have a room there, go and check it.
Honourable members, please, this is from...
Madam Speaker, let me move on to healthcare. Madam Speaker, health, the health of a country determines what the country is. In last year's budget, Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister had 2 paragraphs in the last year's budget. This year, he has about 6 paragraphs on page 38, 39, and 40. That's all it is. Is that indicative of the seriousness with which we treat healthcare in this country? Madam Speaker, I just don't understand. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health, they came in office and they found a strategic health plan. And what they have done in this budget is to just take pieces out of the plan and paste it. That's all. Over the last years, nothing in that plan has been implemented. Madam Speaker, the wellness center, as they call it. Madam Speaker, I did tell the member for Cambridge Sanctuary that the place would be big enough to accommodate other persons who may want to come. But since the real doctor has come on stream, I suspect some of us inside there may have to go there a long before our time. Madam Speaker, the member for Cashfield South told you about the center, beautiful center. But what is there? When you drive past, as though the place is not in operation, the place is dull and drab. It's a new center. What management, what new management policies have you put in place? What have you put in place to capture the full potential, to maximize the full potential of that facility? Madam Speaker, this is serious, Madam Speaker. Because the mental state of our country is significant and important, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, primary health care in this country. Madam Speaker, if you go to the emergency rooms in the hospitals in this country, Madam Speaker, what do you see? They are overcrowded and overloaded because people are having the symptoms early and they cannot afford to go and see a doctor to treat whatever ailment they have at a very early stage. It is only when the ailment develops into critical situation that they rush them to the ER. Madam Speaker, we cannot talk about the wellness of the country and for us to be behaving that way. Madam Speaker, the minister said that diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and including cancer. If we as a country can diagnose these things early, and I am agreeing with him, if we can diagnose these things early, it will reduce on the cost of healthcare in this country. And that is why I want to suggest to the minister that you remove the cost of doing sugar tests, cholesterol tests, cancer tests. Remove that. Allow the people to go in the hospitals and do it free of charge. In that way, you're going to reduce your cost. And you're going to provide better healthcare. You're going to nip it in the bud. But we allow the people to reach conditions where it is irreversible, and some of them end up being amputees, some of them end up losing their eyes, all kinds of things happen to them. So I am suggesting, and I hope the minister will take my advice, allow the people to go to the hospital free of charge. Right now they pay between $75 and $90 for a blood sugar test. Remove that from them, especially poor people, and allow the people to do the test and let them be treated as early as possible, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, poor people in this country, parents with 2, 3, 4 children, they now have to make a choice in the morning. Do I send the child to school, or do I go and get the medication at the drugstore? That's a choice that they have to make, a very serious choice. And most of them end up not sending the child to school because they cannot afford the medication. If you have a simple flu, an antidepressant is going to cost you between $20 and $28. And some parents do not get that at all. They don't have that ready for a whole week. And this is the condition, these are the conditions under which we live, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister is afraid of the VAT. I am telling the Prime Minister he mustn't be afraid of the VAT. He must not be afraid of the VAT. The VAT will bring you more money initially, I agree. But what you can do, tie VAT to the universal health care. So the cell phone tax and VAT combined will provide universal health care for the entire country. That is what a government should be thinking. That is how I'm giving you a consultancy for nothing. Consultancy for nothing. You have 27 consultants paying. 27 consultants. Madam Speaker, let me move to St. Jude. Madam Speaker, on the St. Jude issue, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to tell the Prime Minister, last relangie. In November, we're going to start work. In January, we're going to start work. In independence, we're going to start work. Now our hair is in there. And Madam Speaker, in the budget address, the Prime Minister changed, he changed the bylaw. He changed the November. Madam Speaker, the health of the people in the south of the island is important. You cannot play. You cannot make a mockery of it, Madam Speaker. I'm serious. I'm passionate about this thing, Madam Speaker. What is the sense of relocating the hospital? You need to tell me you're going to build an operations group, wing or building, surgical wing you call it, in one location, and then you're going to build the real hospital in the next location? In the budget, it's in there on page Madam Speaker, it's in the budget. I'll give you the page, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this is not acceptable. Because in the budget, the Prime Minister said that the surgical wing is going to finish in 6 months. But the hospital itself is going to take over 2 years. Which means that the facility for the young people of this country, the stadium, is going to remain as a hospital for another 5 years. Because by the time you build a new hospital, you Madam Speaker, can I just ask how much time I have left?
You have 13 minutes left.
13:13?
Oh,
Madam Speaker, and the Prime Minister must not forget how much it is going to cost for the restoration of the mini stadium. Madam Speaker, I passed there the other day, Madam Speaker, and I saw somebody, some contractor building a kitchen. A kitchen. The Prime Minister has received over $3 million. Madam Speaker, a few weeks ago, I was at the hospital, and I met a gentleman from Sufra with his wife, and he told me he was there from 7 o'clock in the morning, waiting for a bed. And the reason why he cannot get the bed is because there are no bed sheets on the bed. And the minister has over $3 million for the hospital. The Sufra Hospital. Yes, the Sufra Hospital. What is going on there? The Labour Party had a plan to develop the Sufra Hospital into a polyclinic. And Jade Gamble was supposed to take over and implement that plan. What have they done? They wasted money in the hospital. Wasted money, Madam Speaker. It's over 6 months now since some flambo fella did a job on the hospital. And the place is closed, creating an inconvenience for operations at the hospital. There was a small physiotherapy room which can hardly be utilized. And the minister is so callous, attacking the workers at the Sufra Hospital. You attacked the workers at the Sufra Hospital. I was mad, Madam Speaker. I would have closed. How can you attack workers when you cannot give them the infrastructure and the facilities and the convenience for them to operate? How can you attack workers in this honorable house? I wonder whether the minister has ever seen what has happened at the Sufra Hospital since he last came there. No bed sheets, no equipment, no drugs, no bandages, nothing. And you want to blame the workers there? Madam Speaker, I want to ask the minister, what happened to the health center at Vanna? From January 2009, the operation is finished. And there is absolutely nothing going on. Madam Speaker, on your transport, very briefly. I'm not too sure they'll give me extra time, Madam Speaker, so I'm trying to rush.
Honourable members of Newport North.
Madam Speaker, I would like to move for the suspension of Standing Order 3210 to ask for an additional 15 minutes. 15 minutes? Yes, 15 minutes so that the member for Sufra can complete his presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked so that the Honourable Member for Sufra can have an additional 15 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you. Madam Speaker, you from Sport. Madam Speaker, as you walk around this country and you meet the young people, there is a sense of resignation and apathy among them, Madam Speaker. There is no hope, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, sports council in this country are dysfunctional. Madam Speaker, youth organizations in this country do not see any direction. The ministry is acting as though it is an activity organizer and not a policy implementer. Madam Speaker, the young people in this country are crying and they are dying for somebody to rescue them from the misery that this government is putting them under. They cannot get jobs, Madam Speaker. They are begging, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, sport, it has become a very expensive, Madam Speaker. The young people in Sufret, if they have to organize a tournament, sponsorship is very limited and very hard to get. These days, Madam Speaker, it is going to cost the maybe an average of $6,000 to $7,000 to run one competition. The sports gear, the equipment that they have to use, Madam Speaker, is a prohibitive, Madam Speaker. And this, and the ministry should really try to find a way to reduce the cost of cricket gear. Reduce up the bat is about $200 and something. That will have people to pay cricket when they are not working to go and buy a bat for over $200, Madam Speaker. If you are concerned about the young people of this country, these are the little things we can do for the young people of this country, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I believe also, Madam Speaker, that the persons who are prepared to commit themselves to serve on the different youth and sports councils in the various districts should be given an incentive. A small stipend of $100 a month won't kill them, because you really need people to take leadership in those constituencies, Madam Speaker. That is the only way we are going to remove the youth of this country from the dire situation. We have to look after them. And if you can only do it through youth organization, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this year is youth year. This month is youth month. Do I have to say more? Est-ce que vous dites rien encore? L'année passée, l'année pour jeunes gens. Moi, ça, c'est moi. Si ça vous fait mal, ça vous gêne, ça vous fait rien. C'est notre politique. C'est notre politique, Madame Speaker. Madame Speaker, this government is having a false perception that sport is only for young people. Only for young people. I met a young lady in Palmy. She has three children. Three toddlers. So, unfortunately, and she told me she looks like she's looking for a place on a Sunday afternoon to take her children so that they can sit and talk and let them run around. And recreational facilities, Madam Speaker, in Sufre, there is one in Fort Benye. Madam Speaker, 40 and 10, that's a difference of 20. Madam Speaker, we really need these recreational facilities in all of the constituencies, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in every development project, housing project, there is always what you call a free spot, which is supposed to be left for the development of recreational facilities. In Fort Benye, Madam Speaker, in my area, there are two free spots. It is some people from Sufre who came together and tried to organize us and finish it, and they did not finish it. In a place called New Development, there are about three or four spots, free spots, open spaces. Madam Speaker, this government has given me a mindset where I must not even write to them or call on them, because I get nothing when I call them or write to them. They don't even respond to my letters except for the Minister of Communication and Food did recently. Thank you, madam, and I'll talk about that just now. Madam Speaker, where are the uniform groups? I heard the Honorable Minister of Education. I heard uniform groups, but I'm not seeing them. They need leadership. The people who come into leadership, you have to make a sacrifice. You have to begin to take something from the national purpose and start to compensate people for these initiatives, because volunteerism has gone down the grid, and it's a reality we have to deal with. We have to deal with. Madam Speaker, I am calling on the Minister of Youth and Sports to make public the accounts of sports censorship. I'm repeating myself. I am calling on the Minister to make public in this honorable house the accounts of sports censorship, because it's going to be very, very, very revealing. Madam Speaker, allow me to move to my to the beautiful constituency of Sufre, Constituency, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Bouton, members on this side said in the last budget debate, Madam Speaker, some people haven't said Bouton, said the last time, Madam Speaker, that it was a waste of money to spend about $1 million to build a road to Bouton. And today, that Bouton is developing. People who are left are coming back. People want to buy land there. The value of the land has increased because the Labour Party put the water, put the road, it costs millions. But the community is a small community. And that is the way you build communities. because Sophie has no extra land, Madam Speaker, available. Madam Speaker, the road that was built by the Labour Party because of heavy rain a couple of years ago, the road has deteriorated. And it is practically impossible to drive a car over a small section of the road, and I'm begging to do some potholing on the road. Because if you allow the road to deteriorate, Madam Speaker, you have to spend another million to restore the road again. So as the little potholes emerge, you block them one by one, and so you maintain the integrity of the road over a period of time. That is simple economics, Madam Speaker. So I'm appealing, Madam Speaker, people in Bhutan are human beings. From September last year, they don't have water. Yesterday, whilst I was there, Monday, whilst I was there, Madam Speaker, I got a call. Went to work for so many times, I don't know what to do. The engineer was supposed to come down, he came down, and what he discovered, that the project that is being done on the West Coast Road blocked the catchment for the water. Madam Speaker, I am calling on the minister. Madam Speaker, the Sufa Plainfield, the mini stadium they want to call it, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I am going to stand and defend what activities. I don't have the final say, but I will defend the nature of the activities that take place on that playing field. It's a beautiful field, Madam Speaker. The Labour Party builds a nice mini stadium. It's not finished. The surfacing is not done properly. It has to be redone, and it needs painting and lighting. That's all it needs. Because, Madam Speaker, there is, in spite of the prohibitive cost associated with sports, there is a resurgence of sporting activities in Sufa at this point. And we have to capture that and develop it. We have to do it, Madam Speaker. And the people need the facilities, Madam Speaker. And it's not because the people of Sufa voted for another party candidate and will vote again for another party candidate. You must optimize them. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister of the Margaret Project, we keep hearing it all the time. I want to find out what is the stage of the senior citizens' home, because the home must be finished before you relocate. First, you relocate the people in the home. But Madam Speaker, I heard in the previous budget an allocation of $6.5 million. I understood the 0.5 for campaigning, but I think it's only $6 million. Madam Speaker, Honourable Minister, I want you to tell the people of Barron's Drive what is going to happen. They want to know. Because right now, because of the impending nature of the project, we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. When are they going to move? We have to go back and discuss it with the people again. We need to know. We need to know what's going to happen, because the people cannot get electricity, no more connections, no more cable connections, no more water connections, because of the nature of the whole place is on hold. And we really need to start these negotiations all over again and begin to talk about it all over again. Madam Speaker, there's an area in Sufa called Kolombe. Beautiful area, Madam Speaker. And many of the members that have been in that area. There are a few small properties developing there. There is Laho, there is the Beacon, and on top of the hill, you have a few small properties. Beautiful place, Madam Speaker, but there is no water. It's a place that is blossoming now, tourism development. So what I want to suggest, Madam Speaker, if you put the catchment at Bhutan, if it can be expanded, and then use the water then used to go into Bhutan, and then go down the hill for gravity to Kolombek, it will enhance the development of the area even further. Because unemployment in Sufa is very high, and we must look for places where we can create jobs. The Sufa Bridge, Madam Speaker, I took him twice to see the bridge, Madam Speaker. I wrote him, and he responded, and thank you for responding. But Madam Speaker, you know what he did? He took the Minister of Tourism on the bridge with a tape measuring as though he is the minister in the bridge. He did the same thing at the place. I want to thank him for Dewas. I took him to Dewas twice. When he was about to start the road, he never told me he was going to start the road at Dewas. But he took the Minister of Tourism to Dewas. He gave him to Dewas, but he put him up there. Let him get the bush all the jours. And you say, I'm not representing the people? I'm not representing the people? The people from home, I took them down to Sufa. Make them walk all over the constituency. They walk all over the measurements, brought people, contractors, took measurements. And I'm hearing today that there were 87 projects come up, and not one in Sufa. Kiss not just took your ass off. What have they done to you? Pick up your for doctor? And they will put for doctor again. Madam Speaker, last year I mentioned that such an honorable Prime Minister, you wrote last year through you, Madam Speaker. Honorable Prime Minister, through you, Madam Speaker. The rationalization of the housing projects all over the country, we need to do something about it. Because what is happening is that Saint Sufret, new development is a housing project. Because the government has not taken over the project, it is still in the hands of a developer. The council cannot provide the services for that area. Madam Speaker, some of these projects are over 20 years completed. These are not new. There is a place in Myers Bridge where the developer has not done what he was supposed to do to put the surface on the road, and the people there are living, people have beautiful houses. They like spending, they spend on beautiful houses, but they cannot drive to their homes. They have to pack their vehicles by the main road. And government cannot take responsibility for it until it is handed over. I took the Minister of Communications on the works, and he had the four-wheel drive, and he couldn't climb the hill. Myers Bridge. Fukako, in another area, Madam Speaker, we need to rationalize because we are not getting the services of the sanitary workers at the town council. It's a development, and the people are there, and they have to clean their own gutters and everything like that, Madam Speaker. But they pay their taxes. Madam Speaker, there's another area called the Lovers Lane area. Same thing. Yes. Madam Speaker, as I close this budget, my contribution, Madam Speaker. I know that members always look forward to my contribution in the House. But I want to say this, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I live in Sufret. I work in Sufret. I'm married in Sufret. I do everything in Sufret. When somebody falls sick, it's me. When the ambulance is down, they can go somewhere. And we want no foreigners. That's what I said. No foreigners. If I'm a guest, you don't want to say anything. Because, just Jean Vermine. Madam Speaker, let me thank the people of Bhutan for their confidence in me and the support that they have given me and will continue to give me. People of Bhutan, people of Colabet, people of Palmy, people of Fort Benny. I come from Fort Benny, Madam Speaker. A beautiful area. The people in the town proper, Madam Speaker. People of Barron's Drive who have been so loyal and dedicated and who will, next election, have me, when the role is called up yonder, have me to be number one. The people of Margaret Tooth, Madam Speaker. The people of New Development. The people of Fokako, Madam Speaker. People of Crestland, a beautiful area, a beautiful housing area. The people of Zeno, the people of Ravenclaw, the people of St. Philip. In the Sunderland area, the people of Belvedere, the people of in Frontera, the people of Tibuk in the Frontera, Madam Speaker. Leyton, I have to offer the people of Leyton and Belvedere. The whole people came down to look at the project to build a footpath for the people and to provide them with water. Took measurements and everything, nothing. You know what the people did, Madam Speaker? What I did? I took them together, you saw on TV, took them together, got them half a bag of flour and a little something, and we built our own road, Madam Speaker. We're not defending because the hope has become hopeless for two friends. Because we're getting nothing from this, Madam Speaker. Both Belvedere and later. For the just proper, Madam Speaker, these people here, solid. I say thank you to all the comrades up there, by Paula who are listening to me and will want me to come up there tonight to imbibe with them. Mini, people of Mini, Madam Speaker, people of Moka, people of Esperance, Madam Speaker, you've heard me at one time. The honorable member from Cassis Staff was calling me the Minister of Gay Rights and Experience, because I've mentioned these two places so many times in this house. The Ministry of Communication and Work started the road, but they cannot finish it. They put the drain. That's good. It's better than before. But you need to finish it. Because all the roads in Sufret were done, Madam Speaker, except for the two that I mentioned. The people of Bladen, people of Belfast, people of Myers Bridge, people of Tubanan, people of Eastern, people of Belfort, people of Monlacqua, people of Deville, people of Pont-Jean-Libre. Madam Speaker, I want to thank them, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to thank all the hotels and all the business places in the community creating economic activity for Soufre. Because if we have to depend on this government to do anything for employment in Soufre, we are going to die and suffer. Because this government is neglecting the people of Soufre for one reason and one reason only. But I tell them, that'll be the mantra the next time. So the few will be able to come here. The few will be able to come here. I will show you what can be done for Soufre, as we have done in the past. I will show you what can be done for Soufre in record time. Madam Speaker, I am driving down to Soufre tonight. I'm not taking a speedboat and the tourist boat before you. I'm not taking a helicopter and the taxpayers pay for it. I am driving down to my room, no matter what. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.